Okay, I believe we are ready to go to start our February board meeting. We have a large group of guests from Japan. Welcome. Under the direction of a former board member. Welcome, Tatsumi. And the first thing we are going to discuss this morning is IFRS for SMEs. Matt.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Hans. Today we are presenting the first papers for the 2019 review of the IFRS for SMEs standard. At this meeting, we are asking the board to approve the proposed project timetable for the 2019 review, the focus of the request for information, and the proposed topics for the board to discuss in developing the request for information. A presentation on the background to the IFRS for SMEs standard is set out as Agenda Paper 30A. We will not be presenting this paper, but we'll try to answer any questions board members have on that presentation. Turning now to the proposed project timetable, this is shown in Table 1 of Paper 30. When the board completed the 2012 review, it decided the next review of the IFRS for SME standard should commence after 1 January 2019. We propose the 2019 review will move through three phases. Phase one is developing and issuing a request for information. Phase two is analysing feedback, drafting and issuing an exposure draft. And phase three is analysing the feedback from the exposure draft, drafting and issuing amendments to the IFRS for SMEs standard. We propose the objective of the request for information as outlined in paragraphs 10 to 14 of the paper will be to provide the board with evidence to enable it to decide if and how to develop an exposure draft of amendments to the IFRS for SMEs standard. The request for information would be focused on whether and how to incorporate IFRS standards into the IFRS for SMEs standard. Over the next few months, we plan to discuss with the board the topics for inclusion in the request for information. These are set out in paragraphs 16 and 17 of the paper. With that, thank you, and I would now ask the board if they have any comments before we ask the three questions of the board.
Yeah, thank you. The paragraph 11b, there are some standards picked up like IFRS 3, IFRS 10, 11, 12. All those standards are under PIR or will be PIR very soon. So then when it comes to the IFRS for SME, do you take into consideration the schedule of PIR? Or no matter what the PIR is going on, we should update. Is that what you are thinking?
That's certainly a question we would be discussing with the board at a future date, what the view is for the cutoff of what standards to include in relationship to the PIR. The previous review did make a decision to wait for PIR, but that is not necessarily something that has to happen going forward.
Mary?
Matt, I have a feeling my comment is more about perception and language rather than substance or any kind of disagreement. When I read this, including some of the things outlined in paragraph 17 as the objectives for the PIR, it kind of felt, just reading the paper, that we were going back and saying, how should we manage our SME standard? Should we update for these things? Should we not? Now, I have the sense that what you're actually saying is, in March and April, for example, we will work through all the developments in IFRS standards since the last update of the PIR and make a decision using kind of the existing guidelines we have about whether or not we will identify those standards as ones that we intend to incorporate, rather than us sitting back and saying, how do we do an IFRS for SME update as if we'd never done it before? So I wanted to get confirmation subject to that. I think you have the right strategy outlined here. I think it's a very good idea that we go out with a request for information saying, you know, basically we have this approach. Here are all the developments and practice issues we're aware of. Therefore, these are the areas that we intend to update the standard for and get validation of that before we put everybody through the whole thing of exactly what are the specific amendments. So I agree with that strategy, but you could read this paper either as kind of setting out that strategy, or you could read it as, let's step back and think about how we do this. And I just wanted some comments about which one it is.
I think that it's the former. It isn't meant to be a right back to basics kind of review. When we talk about it being strategic, I think more in the sense that we want it to be, the RFI won't necessarily be focused on asking questions about specific wording at a specific, you know, paragraph by paragraph level. It's one step above that. So no, it's not our intention to revisit right back to the very sort of strategy and nature of the IFRS for SME standard.
Daryl.
So a couple of things, I guess. First comment would be where I think Mary just about ended, which is I'm comfortable with the proposal and what you're proposing in here. I'm guessing that the paper in, and this might be a little bit of a nuance, so I might need to clarify whether I understood your answer correctly. In terms of thinking about the scope and in terms of thinking about what IFRS is, we are likely to be, or how we're likely to be considering the IFRSs for inclusion into IFRS for SMEs. I think this comes back to what Tuck asked as well.
I'm guessing you're going to bring us back our previous decisions and just ask us if we're still comfortable with it?
Yeah, that's our proposal. So what we were thinking was we would come back and say, this is what you previously agreed, does that, and ask you to affirm that's still the position. And then we thought, because we were doing a more strategically focused request for views, we would look at the individual standards and try and give an outline of where the board thought the IFRS should the IFRS for SMEs should go in relation to that standard. So we wanted to bring back some principles for when we're working through those individual standards, how we'll do that evaluation. So we just kind of would like one step more from the board in terms of its previous affirmed position.
And I think the reason I asked the question is sort of twofold. I think in the context of two big strategic decisions we made last time around, the first, the adoption of IFRSs and when we bring IFRSs in, I think we've got some more information since 6 years ago about how long an SME cycle takes, and therefore for how long there would be a difference between full IFRS and IFRS for SMEs, and also how long a PIR cycle takes. And I think both of those suggest that the gap between IFRS for SMEs and IFRS is going to be quite a long one. I don't necessarily think we should change our minds on it, but I think it is relevant for us to just consider whether that change in fact means that we need to reconsider the previous decisions we've taken. And then the only other thing that I would comment is, and I spend a lot of time talking about IFRS for SMEs in emerging economies, I know we've had a long discussion about scope in the past, and we kind of closed that door and we were happy with where it is. But this is the single biggest issue I hear every time I go into emerging economies to talk about IFRS for SMEs is scope. And I think even if it is a confirmatory question, do you agree with the decisions you made last time around? I think it would be relevant to give us the opportunity to say yes or no to that.
I think Michelle replied to many of the questions I had. I will limit this to those coming questions. I'm a bit concerned that reading this paper, there is a strong focus on the objective being to bring what developments have been made in IFRS into the IFRS standard. So I would like to make sure that when we look at this, I'm not saying that it should not be done, but I'm saying that to make decisions which, in my view, would be the right decisions for the IFRS for SMEs, we would need to have first an assessment of how the IFRS for SMEs is fulfilling the needs it's supposed to be needed, fulfilling today. So if there are areas that have been identified as deficient or not, because if they're not deficient, the question arises whether a change is needed. And whether we are going also to take into consideration, how we are going to take into consideration the needs of these entities and its, and their users, which are different from the analysis that we make when we consider listed entities. So I would like to make sure that, and that this is part, in fact, is exposed in the request for views, so that we also ask people whether they agree that we will have this, that this scrutiny is relevant.
I think those are really good suggestions. So as we develop the principles and we look at those standards, we'll make sure we build those suggestions you've made into those principles, and we can come back and discuss that with you, and then we can discuss whether we should outline those principles in the request for information. Thank you.
Gary.
Thank you. I'm fine on the proposed timeline and your approach as far as the paper goes, Matt. Two things, though. This is all focusing on recent standards we issued, but you know, we've got a large body of SME literature that's been around a while. Are you going to go back and cull back through what already exists, you know, for any tweaks or updates that we're aware of, or are we going to kind of leave with the stable platform that we're not going to touch it unless we get feedback that says otherwise? I have a follow-on question. You can go to that.
We certainly have heard that there are some areas that we could look at, and we certainly would envisage as part of the RFI identifying and potentially asking questions about some of the areas that we have heard about. So I think there will be an opportunity to get feedback on issues that have arisen in practice and areas that people think that we could develop.
So that wasn't focused in here, so that's not excluded.
It's certainly not excluded. I think in the May papers, we certainly envisaged that would be the potential to build out that area there.
Yeah, because I'm sort of sensitive to, we've, you know, marketed this, so to speak, as a stable platform, you know, and considering. So I think, well, let's see what comes in. I think it might be more of a cost-benefit trade-off, stability versus improvement. And then second question, you know, separately we've got the IFRS for SMEs that are subsidiaries projects. That can be run totally independent in this because it's sort of working the same timeline.
So I will look after both projects, but they will operate as independent projects and run on different timelines.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, this is generally good. You know, the one question is based on the standards and their amendments are huge comparing to the last review.
Yes.
So just I'm wondering whether your timeline is too audacious to finish this big project in a very short time. So I'm wondering, are you sure with this timeline to finish this big project?
I would agree. It's going to be tight, and that's why we decided to do why we're proposing that we do a more high-level request for information first. And I guess based on the feedback once from that consultation, we'd need to rethink the timeline.
I hope so. Yeah, but one small thing is that in Appendix 2, almost the new standards were included here, are included here, except that their insurance contract 17. So that is a deliberately excluded from these items of in Appendix B.
Yeah, because of the definition of around public accountability and the scope. So we wouldn't, for two reasons. One, the newness of that standard, and because of the scope of the IFRS for SMEs, so we didn't put it on here.
But the 17 does not cover the insurance company, just to cover insurance contract.
Yeah.
So maybe that public entity, accountable entity concept might not apply. Some contracts
I mean, we can add it to the list if you want. We just kind of felt the list was quite long already.
Okay, thank you.
Ben Chow.
Thank you, Hans. I agree with staff's proposal. I think this round the review should focus on, strictly focus on how and on whether and how to incorporate IFI standards, because I look at the 2012 review, it's mainly focused on amendments for implementation challenges only. Mm. So this issue has not been discussed in the last round the review. But since 2012, there are so many new IFI standards come out and so many new amendments to the IFIs. So I think the practice already asks what's the relationship between IFIs, those new IFI standards and the IFIs for SMEs. So I think it's the right time to focus, structurally focus on this area. But in the meantime, I also would like to ask a question. Since last review, whether there are any significant implementation issues come out with regarding to applying existing IFIs for SMEs, if there are some significant implementation issues come out, I think we still also need to make improvements with regard to those, you know, implementing issues, not only simply focus on incorporating IFIs standards to the IFIs for SMEs. Secondly, I just Delo mentioned about the scope of the IFIs for SMEs. I think it's a very, very important issue, because sometimes the issue why the issues come out with regard to the IFIs for IFI standards, because of the scope of the IFIs for SMEs, some companies, maybe they are eligible to use IFIs for SMEs, but now they are forced to use the IFIs for IFI standards. So if the scope could be made more clearly, I think it could reduce the burden of those companies or even those jurisdictions adopting IFIs standards. So I think it clarification on IFI of the scope of IFIs for SMEs is a significant issue. I think we should be resolved during this round of review of IFIs for SMEs.
If I can answer the first question, I think we have the SMEs implementation group, and I think the fact that we haven't had a significant, that they have a question and answer process, and we haven't had a significant number of questions coming into them, which I think may be indicative that there are not large issues out in practice that we should be necessarily aware of. We've certainly heard that there may be some concerns around differences in capitalization of development costs. We're certainly talking to members of the SME implementation group to find out whether they believe there are any other issues that we should be aware of around the current standard.
Daryl?
So I wanted to come back to a certain extent, Michelle, on your answer on IFRS 17. I think as it stands right now, IFRS 17 fails the criteria for a review for two reasons, as you mentioned when you said it. I think the first one is that we don't know if there would be any entities that would fall within the public accountability definition who also do insurance. But I think right now the second one is probably the more important one. Now, I think this is part of what may be coming back to March, but if we are right now to keep our criteria for adoption of IFRSs, or for thinking about IFRSs for inclusion the same, that criteria suggests that the standard has to have been issued and be in practice so that we can learn anything from the effective date application. And I don't, obviously we don't expect IFRS 17 to be adopted for a couple of years. So I think it fails on that. So I'd be inclined to say unless something changes in the discussion around A, scope and B, principles, I don't think it should be included at this point in anything we do here.
I have a supplementary issue that I wanted to raise, and in fact as a question at this stage, but also a recommendation. I think it would be good to mention somewhere in the request for views that we have these SMEs as subsidiaries project in the pipeline.
so that we are looking at this issue separately, and ask, kindly ask those that are going to comment to not focus on these type of entities, to really have the independent SMEs into mind when they provide answers, so that we really have input that is strictly focused on what we should be doing and considering.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anne?
Thanks, Hans. I think our review this time is much more complicated than last time, and I think we recognise that. We've got not only substantial big new standards, but we've also got the issues that were put aside last time as not to be addressed. So I think there's a lot of work there, and that makes me think about the principles and the scope. And I'm really pleased that you're going to bring principles, because I think we need some really robust, sound principles in order to make these decisions about how we're going to do it. So I'm glad you're bringing us principles. But the principles are also linked to scope. Mm-hmm. And I'm really pleased that you're bringing scope first and then principles, because I think there's going to be quite a bit of discussion around scope. Because we have got new material. I think Daryl said there's been a passage of time. We've got feedback. We've got more material now. Mm. And so we're going to need to talk about scope, and that conversation will also affect principles. And I think the principles are really important for us to be able to proceed on the timeline that you suggest, because there's a lot of work here and a relatively short time. So not an easy project, but appreciate what you've given us so far.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, can we vote on the three questions together? I believe that is the case.
Excuse me, 14.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Then our next topic is an update on the management commentary practice statement. Okay.